A long, long, long time ago. In a galaxy far, far away.
Revelations! With the first stage of the heist underway, Skip and Jen find themselves in a position to obtain the mysterious gem known as the Fate of Alderaan. Will the jewel heist flounder before it even begins? Or will they succeed and obtain the gem, and possibly so much more?
All right, so you just broke up a marriage. So what is your next plan?
Oh no, that's not possible.
No, Skip only mends fences. He doesn't break it. All right, so you guys gonna head out, or is there anything else you guys need to do before you left?
Which of us is the best at swapping jewels?
That'd be probably a skullduggery, stealthy thing.
Depending on how you're doing it, yeah.
A cunning thing.
Yeah.
I got...
Yeah, something cunning. I mean, I could be sold on a lot of different ways of doing it. So if there's a skill
I'd like to point out that we did ask Dinwiddie to help us by making a box that could be involved.
Yeah.
So was he delivering that thing? I think he was supposed to send that to you guys, or are you guys going to pick that up from him?
We told him where we were staying, so I think he would send it here.
A parade of random people visiting...
We could say retroactively that there's a box on the counter that was from Dimwitty. Whatever this box is supposed to do, I'm not sure, but we have our MacGuffin box.
I was thinking it would be one of those things where you close it, and you open it, and there's the gem, and then you close it, and you open it, and there's nothing. Which works a lot better now that the gem is not football-sized.
Yes.
Well, doesn't it have a gem in it already, and it swaps the two gems?
Yeah, I would assume that the fake gem is in the box. You put the box on top of the gem, and then when you lift the box again, the fake gem's in the place of the real gem, type thing.
I don't know. We'll figure out the mechanics when we have to figure out the mechanics.
I'm not a master thief in real life.
We spend the next hour doing a whole bunch of planning that, while would be interesting for us to work through the mechanics on, we can just... make those rolls and whatnot from our hour of planning during the heist?
Mm-hmm. Yes, of course.
Cool.
Yeah, nice little montage scene with some cool music. You guys planning things, running scenarios.
Skip just looks different angles of thoughtful.
At one point, someone gets mad, pushes everything off the table, walks away. You know.
Anarchy.
Lo is eating the entire time. He's the Brad Pitt character.
At some point in the background, Harl throws himself off the couch and goes skidding across the room dramatically.
The whole time in the background, he's just doing a Captain Kirk roll across the background, trying to master his roll and pop up.
Just remember, just roll. Roll with the motion.
But I think the finger guns at the end kind of sell it when it pop up, you know?
And remember, when you fall onto your back, slap the ground on either side of you.
Oh yeah, makes it sound cooler.
And, well, diffuses... Yes!
Okay, cool. I'll remember that. Like, slap. Doesn't really work in here, because we're on carpet.
Do it anyway.
Practice,
what
man.
You're saying.
Practice. Well, while they're doing this, I want to just be doing a little bit more background research on specifically since Skip brought up Mokshok and we don't really know a lot about him, just seeing what I can find.
You want to do a knowledge
underworld?
Yes, I do. All right, knowledge underworld. You've been living on Nar Shaddaa for a few years. So you do have contacts at the police station still, correct?
Yes. Can I actually make it a streetwise, as I'm working with the cops and with Less Savory?
Okay.
So I know where to find people.
No. Sure. Streetwise works for me. Yeah. Okay. Yeah, we'll see if either what you know, or maybe you know someone who knows something, type thing. Sure. We'll just say that's a two
purples. I got and success.
Noise.
And success. Sure. Yeah, you know that Mokshok used to be the muscle for another mobster who was an eccentric, really odd dude. And at one point, Mokshok got fed up and just snapped his boss's neck and took over. That's how he got into his position of power. So Mokshok has killed one of the old guard, I guess you can call them, and kind of taken his place. And that's where his power is kind of new, and that's why I think he, at least the word on the street is that he is pushing hard to try to establish that he's not just muscle. So this whole auction thing is him trying to spread his reputation as being more than just brawn.
But at the same time, he's doing it in a very muscle-bound kind of way, like he was creeping on Azra and...
Yes, he doesn't... He's trying, but he only knows how to be muscle. Okay. So he thinks he's doing the right thing, but yeah, he's definitely... He's trying to show that he's not just a punchy-punchy guy.
He's a punchy-punchy guy who likes pretty, you know, art and stuff. He's cultured.
He has aspirations.
Mm. Okay. So it seems unlikely that he would be going more subtle routes then.
No, he is. He's very loud. He doesn't know subtlety.
He lacks subtlety. Okay. Yes. I'll just kind of mention that in passing to Skip. Like, I don't think Mokshok's going to be the one... With Kelbo, that seems a little discreet for him.
Interesting. So who do you think it could be, then?
Honestly, it could be Neslia, if you think about it. She's the most experienced, but... Noose and Ja are busy bickering. The Porg is... I don't know. Actually, I don't know much about the Porg. And Freeze?
FR3Z? Uh-huh.
FR3Z, FR, or the droid. Right.
Freezy.
Yeah.
Freezy pop.
yeah, what you know about the Porg, I mean, from what Anarchy saw in the vision, or through the vision of FR3Z, was that the Porg is essentially comatose, and that the FR3Z is keeping the facade up until they can find a way of bringing the Porg back to more consciousness.
Yeah, I always have, like, the keyboard command, like, Linux window open on FR3Z, so if he was communicating with Kelbo, I imagine I would know.
Yeah, at least from the time you hacked in, yeah, you would have heard or seen some sort of connection.
I'm leaning towards Neslia, partially because I'm bitter and partially because she's the most experienced in the World of Art collection.
We were right to try to frame her because she was going to do it anyway.
Also because she's a horrible person. Not that I have opinions.
All right.
You ready to roll?
Yeah, by this time, yeah.
Hover?
Yeah, Lo is already cleaned up. Dishes are in the dishwasher. He and the kid are playing the little racing game on the tablets. And yeah, Lo is just smoking him because, you know, Lo is a professional driver. It's what he does. Lo is a driver. So he's like,
All right, kid, listen. This is a teaching moment for you, so I want you to listen carefully. If you're trying to go through a door, you gotta wait, you gotta accelerate at the last second, because the thing is, and you do not want to aim for the side, because you don't want to clip it. You want to go through it, you gotta aim for that middle part. And here's, are you listening? I want you to listen. People are lighter than speeders, okay? All right. Honestly, like, my advice to you is just pretend they're not even there. You just go straight through it, okay? If you want to go through that door, you just got to go straight. Now we need to talk about infrastructure. Are you ready to talk about infrastructure? Because your posts and your poles, they are going to be hard in the ground. In a museum, they are hard in the ground. You're going to want to avoid. You're going to think to yourself, I could go through it. You can't go through it. You're going to want to go around. You're going to want to avoid. You're going to want to steer around. Remember, people lighter than speeders, posts and poles in the ground. Avoid. Don't avoid people. Posts and poles. Avoid. Remember those few key principles and you're golden.
Oh, that's true. I've been so used to trying to not hit people because the game takes away points and things, but if I'm not worried about points, I'm just trying to get through. I should just... Yeah, I just go right through the people and... Okay, that's great. Thanks, man.
I take great comfort in the fact that you will probably be using public transportation for most of your life, Harl.
Well... If the speeder that Anarchy gets me, if it's not totally destroyed, I plan on keeping it that, if it's okay? Is that okay?
I'm sure it is.
Sweet! You guys heard it! She said it! It's mine! No take-backs!
I mean, yeah, I was gonna... I have control over a lot of maintenance. Could I just steal, like, a some kind of maintenance truck.
I'm just now picturing a gonk droid just
yeah,
pushes,
like a big garbage truck
off the edge.
I mean, claims if we get there and there happens to be a service vehicle, a garbage truck, or a meter reader or something, I guess you could take a meter reader's car from them or something. We could do a roll and
get some gonks to hijack a dump truck.
This is going to be a crazy up.
All right, so what's the plan? Are we going to the museum?
Unless Kelvo calls back? Nope.
Right. We know what time the auction is set to start, right?
Yeah, the auction is tonight. The appraisal is supposed to be around like noonish, about 6-7 hours before the thing.
I think I'm going to send out like my little sword of Damocles and like schedule it so like all these gonks start converging on the museum about an hour into the auction.
All right, so about like 2 or 3 o'clock in the afternoon, about a couple hundred gonks are going to stop their assigned tasks and start slowly shuffling towards the museum.
I think I know what the news bulletin at the end of this episode is going to be.
I know. All right, so you guys load up into Lowe's yellow cab, and he takes you off to the museum. Do you guys stop for... Or you guys don't really stop at the slag pit for anything. So you guys can head straight to the museum, pulling up to the side.
So is everybody getting out here, or is the plan different?
Well, the three of us are getting out.
Boy Wonder, staying with me?
That sounds great.
But I wanted to come.
Keep practicing, kid. You're not ready.
Doesn't that mean I'm supposed to be looking out from the outside or something?
No, not until tonight.
Oh.
Plenty of things to do. Why don't the two of you head out and get a shake or something? Listen to some, you know, of that youthful music.
All right, fine. You know what? Maybe... How about Lo lets me drive for a little bit? Can we do that?
That's up to Lo.
Yeah, Lo goes...
Which is probably a no.
Nah, sorry, kid. Look, I wish I could. I really do. But, you know, the Yellow Cab Galactic Cab Company has very strict protocols for the operation and maintenance of its vehicles. I would be happy to walk you through these processes and sort of review the certifications that would be necessary for you to get behind the wheel if that were something that you wanted to pursue, maybe in a long-term sense, but this is more of a recruiting and HR conversation. I am more of an on-the-ground logistics guy, so frankly, all I can really say is I can't have you driving my cab.
Harl, ride shotgun, get your little thing... And practice while Lo is driving. Get familiar with moving in and out of traffic. Accelerate when he accelerates. Practice.
I'll keep an eye out for something that we can steal later that Anarchy can program for me. I'll keep watching.
That also works.
Awesome.
All right, so they leave you guys by the museum, and the two of them go driving off into the Nar Shaddaa traffic. You guys approach the museum. It's regular business hours. There are people coming in and out, you know, couples on dates, old people just enjoying the walk, families, the whole shebang-a-bang.
As security, I fall into step behind Skip.
Skip, unused to this, keeps trying to talk to Jen.
Like looking over the shoulder.
What? Why are you... Look, Doric never walks behind me. It's weird.
Well, consider it a formal sign of deference, since I am, in theory, employed by you.
I feel like you're just making faces at me, though.
I am.
That you don't need to walk behind me to do that. You're wearing a mask.
But so you can't tell which face I'm making.
But if you were walking behind... You know what? I don't care. That's just mean. And ever since you went away to Week, you have been weird.
As we near the museum, I come out and around and I open the door for him. And as he's walking by, I hold out one of the chocolates that he likes.
Oh.
Oh, that's lovely.
And then I go right back behind him.
That is only slightly less awkward.
It's not my fault. Week was weird. They have wizards and giant turtles.
Yeah, well, I went to Weird and it was Weak. It really was. All I did was a puzzle room of death.
So you guys get to the inside the museum. There is a droid and a different information desk employee sitting back where Kelbo had sat before. And yeah, it's, people are bustling about, and you see there are probably, say, a half dozen security guards just moseying about from this room in and out of it in their drab gray security uniforms.
Can we say that I also had Anarchy actually adjust my security badge so that it was me and not, like, Jeff Schmeff? Well, yeah.
Oh, yeah, yeah, whenever it's, it, yeah, whenever it scans, it comes up. Do you want it to say Jenny Ford, or do you want it to say some other fictional name?
It's kind of got to say, because I feel like enough people know who I am that if it says something else and they look at it, it's going to be sideways.
And I guess it wouldn't be too much of a stretch if they did know you, that you were doing security work, I guess.
I'm a transient. I always need employ.
Sure, yeah. So your security card, when scanned, would say Jenny Ford Security.
Doop.
I'd assume Anarchy would probably give you some really high access, probably like security manager access.
If she cares that much, sure. Yeah. Whether or not she tells me, I don't know.
Yeah, you scan it. You says Jenny Ford, security manager. All right. So are you guys looking for Nala, or you're looking for Kerchak? I guess Kerchak would be with Nala as they're getting ready for the event.
I'll ask for directions.
Sure. You go up to the information desk, and there is a young kid. He's like 19 years old. He goes,
"Hi, welcome to the museum. How can I help you today?" "Hey, I see you scanned into security. Why are you up at the information desk? Are you new?"
"Hi, I'm taking the auctioneer to the We're examining them. Somebody give me a word.
The viewing room.
The examination room.
Sure. One second. Let me check. What's your name, Mr. Auctioneer?" I don't have a on my list. Do you have a nickname or pseudonym you go by? Anom de Plume?"
I just look at Jen.
This is Skip Fortuna standing in.
"Oh, that's right. Late last night, there was that email that we switched people. Okay, sure."
"I'm very important, you know."
"Yes.
I am certain in certain circles you are very important. So, sure."
"Good, good. Well, now you know who I am. Carry on."
Yeah, just go ahead, go back to the viewing room, and yeah, I think they should be back there in a little while. Do you want me to let Nala know that you're here, so she can meet you back there?"
"Yes."
"Will do. You guys have a great day, and, yeah."
They kind of lean past the two of you, and...
"Hi, that's a pretty awesome face thing you got going on. Can I help you with anything?"
"I'm Dr. Paige Turner, here to do another surprise inspection of your installations."
Oh, sure. Dr. Professor Turner, yeah, anything you need. Can I help you with anything? Do you need someone to walk with you, or how can I help you?"
"I know this museum better than you." And I'm going to, like, do that thing where, like, her whole upper body, like, lurches over the counter, and she, like, reaches over to grab whatever candy and, like, a bunch of pens.
Sure. Sorry, Dr. Professor. Before you go, I'm just wondering... what do you have a doctorate in, and what are you a professor of?"
"Ideology."
"Which one was that? The doctorate or the professor?"
"Both."
"Oh. Okay. That's kind of cool. So what does that mean? Well, like, what does a doctor of ideology do? What do you have to do with an art museum? That just doesn't seem to connect." You guys can go. I'm sorry. I don't mean to keep you, Mr. Fortuna. I'm just trying to have a conversation with Dr. Professor Paige Turner, because I've never met a Dr. Professor before, and I think this is quite a fascinating thing. I'm in school myself, and Dr. Professor sounds like a pretty profitable career."
"I think you need to have another look through of your readings, because if those are the types of questions you're asking, this is not a career you're ready for."
"Oh, I see. Okay, well, If you have any time when you're done, I'd love to talk more about your career and stuff and how you got where you are.
I'll leave another Billy Madison card.
Billy Madison. All right.
Sure.
Yeah, they'll just go back to their desk, helping the next whatever, you know, nice little family of Ugnaughts who come in get the discounted rate.
I know the Game Master said helping, but that person was really just hindering everyone they interacted with.
Kid's just bored. He's sitting at a desk for 8-12 hours a day.
Yeah, with a droid that doesn't talk. He's just desperate for contact, man.
All right, so we'll follow Jen and Skip as they go through the museum proper into the back area where all the curated goods are, crates of items and things like that. As you are walking in the back area, you pass various small offices of other curators, docents, staff there. There's a break room in the back, you know, all that kind of fun stuff. And you finally reach the area where there are two guards standing at the door. And they go, how can I help you? There's one is a human. He's got red hair, a nice bushy mustache. And the other one is a basilisk. And they go,
This is a restricted area. How can I help you?
I look them up and down. Do they look like typical museum staff, or are these like specials brought on?
These aren't like your regular,
old man security guards?
This is not the per hour guys. These are just probably more professional. These are probably either cops doing side work, or they could actually be farmed out police officers helping out because this is some high end stuff. These are not your regular $8 an hour security guards.
Yes. Can I get your names? I am Skip Fortuna. I am the auctioneer.
Yeah, so you could see on their badges that they're wearing. One says Officer Mesden. The other one says Officer Harvick.
So, Fortuna, you're the new auctioneer?
And they look over at Jen.
Are you with the
security badge?
Special. Okay. You used to... You...
Your name is Security Badge?
Security Badge, that's a weird name. It's a family name, I guess.
Are you with the force? You don't look like one of the regular schlubs they have around here.
I'm on contract.
Oh, okay. With the museum or one of these outside? Are you with the auctioneer?
Yes. That is why I'm standing with the auctioneer.
We cleared that last night. It should be fine, but by all means, double check. That's what you're here for.
Nala doesn't have enough on her plate right now.
Just one sec. They just go to their earpiece.
Nala, yeah, we have the... Yeah, he's here. Uh-huh. And he has security personnel with him. He's supposed to... You said nobody was supposed to... But you said... Oh, but... Okay. But... Okay. She's in a mood. And yes, you can go in.
Well, I'm glad you didn't make that call, Harvick.
I don't make any calls. That's Jaguar's thing. She likes to talk to people. I just want to stand here and get paid.
How about you open the door and get paid?
Yeah, Jaguar, Daryl moved and just pushed.
Hey, Bull, why do you gotta be like that, man? We're just trying to earn our pay here.
And they slide open the doors. And you walk in, and yeah, you see Nala back there, and Kerchak Gotham is not yet to have arrived, but you guys have gotten there before, and Nala is busy. She's got a data pad. She's going back and forth to different pieces, and she's just checking things off, making sure everything's in the right place. And then I need Skip to do a check for me.
Sure. I like checks. I have succeeded.
I try this to be a feeling thing. Would it be discipline?
Uh-oh.
Would this be discipline? For
this is a feeling thing? What sort of feeling thing is this?
How
do
you feel something? Like a change of energy? Would that be perception if you feel like a change of energy in the room sort of thing? Like how you can walk into a room and feel tension?
I want to actually feel that.
Would that be perception or would that be like discipline? What do you think would be the best way to perceive? I mean, it would be perception, right? How you perceive something?
After 2 years, Dwayne, I want to start spending experience points with this character.
You have like 300 points saved up for something.
That's true. You have like all of yours.
So,
you could have said 300 points on one skill right now.
It's all perception all the time.
So, no, I want to buy a new career path.
Sure.
And I want to feel stuff I've never felt before. Okay. And so I'm just, if that's okay with everyone, I want to flip one of these two light side points we have. If that's okay, so that I can feel whatever it is he wanted me to feel, and then I can start buying this new career
sure,
path.
Sounds like a plan.
I have cool in mind.
Please do.
Sure. Okay.
Okay. No, we'll...
All right. So.
Shit's going to get weird for Skip Fortuna.
Yeah, Skip, as you enter the room, yeah, you, how would you describe Skip's usual personality or personal energy?
He's the life of the party.
So think of whatever Skip's saddest memory would be. And Skip, it just starts creeping like in the back of his head. Like he can't shake that, whatever that dark thought, that sad thought that he doesn't ever really notice because Skip's just a happy person. But it's starting to push deeper and deeper into his head. It's pushing more into his actual consciousness. He's starting to feel not as happy or not as joyful as usual. There's some sadness definitely creeping into Skip right now.
I'm so glad you didn't say, oh, and now tell me, Kyle, what is that terrible sadness that you
I didn't want to put you on the spot.
Which I totally would have done. I would have been like, what was that moment?
What is this sad thought? What is this unhappy thought there? But, we can save that for later. When it really hits him bad. This is just...
It's going to get even worse. This is the first excellent. Way.
So, okay. So, yeah, as you walk in, yes.
Overcome, a tear forms in the corner of his eye.
Yes, to someone who's just casually looking, there's dust in his eye he wipes away. But, yeah, he wipes a tear away. So, yeah, Nala sees you guys, and she just rushes over and goes,
you guys are early, and the praetor's not going to be here for another couple of hours. He had a really late night, and he overslept, so he's running a little bit behind schedule. You guys can, if you want to, walk around. I know you want to get to know the pieces. Mr. Fortuna can go ahead and do that. Just if you're going to touch anything.
She gives you the gloves.
Just touch it very carefully. Put it back. Do not take anything out of the cases or anything if you need something unlocked. Please let me know, but really try not to move stuff too much because I have everything kind of where we need it. Okay, is there anything else you need?
Of course. No, I brought my own gloves, if you would like.
Oh, that would be amazing.
She takes the gloves that she was going to give to Skip and gives them to Jen.
Just put these on. Try not to touch or breathe on anything too much. The glass gets foggy, and then we get to go wipe it all down and the whole process, yada, yada, yada. So just try.
Understood.
Do you have a program?
Yeah, they're up in the front. I can have some.
She gets on her little earpiece.
I need two programs brought to the viewing room right now. I don't care what you're doing right now. Two programs off the top of the pile. Thank you. Yeah, someone will bring it back in about a minute for you guys. Do you need drinks or anything? Are you guys okay?
I dig in my pockets because I'm still wearing my trench coat at this point, and I pull out a piece of chocolate and I hand it to her.
Oh, that's nice of you. It's cherry.
And then Jen doesn't put the gloves on. She tucks them in a pocket, like a chest pocket, so they're kind of just sitting there when she needs them. And she just stands with her hands behind her back, like security.
Sure. And she'll just go off to the another side of the room and just doing almost like an inventory check to make sure everything's where it's supposed to be. And kind of just leaving you two to check what you want to check. What is your plan? You are now in this room with a distracted person. Kerchak isn't there yet.
Yep.
You guys, I know you have the box and two fake gems on you. So.
No, well, now it's time to go check out all of the auction items and get this significant data about the items, the interesting parts and pieces of them, the general value of them. She seems distracted, but could she be more distracted?
I guess if something was to fall or something was to go amiss or something, I guess it could make her focus on it. Because she's kind of flitting around the room, so her attention is everywhere. So I guess to make her more distracted would be to have her just stop and be in one space.
That would distract her. When the programs arrive,
sure.
I will arrest her attention and go through the programs with her.
Okay.
Just to get an idea of how everything is going to be moving, what the plan is for the evening, and I'm going to kind of position it so that she's facing me at the door.
Okay.
With her back to the room.
Let's say a few minutes pass, and then the boy from the front is just, you see him just running back to the back, out of breath, goes,
"Oh, oh. I got the programs for you. She said you need the programs right away, so here you go. Can I help you with anything else?"
"No, I'm fine. Thank you."
"Okay. I'm going to go, but back up front. You guys have a glorious day, and bye."
"Good job, kid."
And he just runs off.
"Thank you."
And yeah, doors close behind him. So you're going to go over to Nala Jen?
Yeah.
Sure. Yeah, she's just examining something, and you come up and she's,
"Aren't you supposed to be with him?"
"Is there a threat in this room?"
"Yeah, no, I guess not."
"However, I do have concerns about this evening. I would just like to know the general movement and how you're going to be transporting pieces to the stage, away from the stage. Who will be doing it?"
"Well,
how many security we'll have?"
"Our two primary guys we got from the National Police Force are a Jagor and a Bull out front. They're going to be the ones moving each piece individually from here to the auction floor. We're only going to have one item on the floor at a time to limit exposure, because I figured we have too many items out front. We're running a risk, so just one at a time. That way, we're kind of minimizing it. Does that make sense? I mean, I think you are a security expert, so does that seem like a good idea?"
"That seems like an excellent idea."
"So you're just going to try to keep idle chit-chatting with her distractor?" "So
nitpicky, stupid questions."
"Sure. Let's have you roll to see how well you distract her."
"Fine."
"So that would be, I guess, a charm?"
"Would it be charm, though? Because I'm actually talking about work stuff."
"Okay. What do you
think?" I'm actually almost willing to say, in a way, it's kind of coercion, because I'm kind of bullying her.
Yeah, you're trying to like position yourself and turn her and get her in a position. Sure, I'll say coercion.
Yeah.
Sure. Coercion, I'll say two black, but I'm going to give you actually a blue, because she's hyper-focused on her work. So when you start talking security stuff, it really interests her, because she wants to make sure this flies great. So two purple, but I'll give you a blue because you're talking what she wants to hear."
"Two purple and a blue. And then, because you're very kind and lovely, four green." "Sorry, you should go with the first one, which was a failure, but to advantage."
"Oh, I didn't even see it. Well, fast one, to advantage. All right, so."
"I mean, if you want to go with the second one with a success, that's totally honestly, cool, but."
The way my screen was rolled, right when you clicked it twice, I didn't even see the first one. So, okay, so you don't distract her anymore. What do you think your advantages should be? You don't take her completely 100% away from Skip, but what advantage are you giving him? I mean, in theory, you'd just be passing advantages to whatever role he's about to do.
I'll say we'll give him a boost to his role, and what it is I'm actually physically moving through the, like, flipping through the book, like, okay, this is a vase the size of, you know, an Ugnaught, since they're so popular here. So how are we moving this? You know, stuff like that. Okay. So I'm making noise as well as trying to focus her.
Sure. Okay. So now we go over to Skip. What are you going to do?
Skip is going to say the word that Anarchy is waiting for, to turn the lights off and create a 20-second loop that Skip has planned out of routing, so that it never looks on the security cameras like Skip was anywhere near where the diamond was supposed to be. So he's cased out the place for where the diamond is, how to swap the diamonds while the lights are out, and never have been anywhere near the diamonds.
Okay, you've timed it. 20 seconds is enough time for you to get there and back. Okay.
Yeah, that's okay, what he's
so
trying to do.
What is this word or phrase you're going to say that Anarchy is going to hear?
Skip is going to say, "Oh, actually, I really could use a glass of water."
Sure. Anarchy will hear that over your guys' shared communicator. And yeah, all of a sudden. So you're just saying that the cameras go on a loop. Nothing really changes in the room. Nobody notices, right? Oh, lights
no,
go off.
The
too.
Lights
okay,
are going to
sure.
go out. Yeah, the lights are going to go out. And it'll look like Skip never was anywhere near the gems. So it'll start with, he'll say that when he's right next to the gem location. but he'll step back two steps and make it look like he was never there. And then when they reload the cameras, he'll never have gone over to that spot.
Sure. The lights will, will shut off. Nala will just...
What happened?
No one move.
Nobody move. We don't want to knock anything over.
While Skip moves.
Quietly moves to the thing. Okay, so...
Back, like, the two paces or whatever he needed to be where he was 20 seconds ago.
So you're going
to
say you're going to switch out the thing with no one watching, because it's going to be dark in the room. That's pitchable.
Yeah, and they'll have cut the feed, and it'll be dark, so it won't, like, it'll, like, Skip was there, the lights went out, so Skip was there.
Seem like, I don't know, would there be a roll necessary for this? Then you're just basically switching something out in the dark.
And we have the box.
Yeah.
Well, no, the box is for later.
Okay, so this is just literally you palming one and...
switching it. Okay. Nice. So you're going to physically grab the jam and switch out the other one, right?
Yes.
Okay, so the moment that Skip puts his hand on the gem, that sad, sad memory that Skip has is now playing in front of his eyes like he is reliving that moment. It's happening like to him just like it happened the first time. So what is the sad memory for Skip?
We're on Ryloth. Anarchy and Skip are on Ryloth with Mom and Dad. Mom's hands and Skip are tightly held together when Mom's hand is ripped from Skip's, and he stumbles and falls to his knees and turns back to see that Mom is being dragged away, and blaster fire rains down from above as the slaves cry out in fear and panic, and Dad shoves Anarchy and the wailing Skip into the arms of Uncle Count, saying,
"Take them. Take them as collateral if you must."
All right. So as Skip is stuck in this memory, he steps back to where he was. The lights turned on. And Jin, you look over, just you were privy of this plan. And you look over and Skip is standing there. And he's like nothing happened. But you can just see Skip is standing there crying right now. The tears are rolling down his cheeks like something very, very sad has just happened. But... his face, his expression seems almost normal, but he is crying down his face right now.
What is Nala doing?
Nala's just looking around. It's like she looks and goes, "Is it
nothing? Fell? Everything's fine. Nobody touched anything. All right."
I didn't move.
Nope. Everything's fine.
Are you?
It's all good. I really could use a glass of water now.
I didn't know you were afraid of the dark, Skip. I'm sorry.
Oh, it's not the dark. It's just the opportunity to be here, and it's all been so perfect, Nala. Everything you've done is just top-notch.
Sure.
When Skip asks for another glass of water, Anarchy will make the lights flicker. Yes. It's the go for me.
So like, the lights go off, like, the flicker, like, was that the sign again? What happened? Does he need it twice?
We'll get you a glass of water. Don't ask for another one. Jen doesn't have a handkerchief because she's a grub. She passes one of the gloves over to Skip.
Yeah, if you guys don't mind, I'm just going to do a quick check to make sure nothing fell or anything broke. I'll let you guys know when Kerchek gets here. So if you guys don't mind, can you just skedaddle for now?
Yeah, we walked past a break room. We'll go get him his glass of water. Shen puts his arm around him and just kind of guides him towards the door.
As they walk,
it's so hard, Shen.
As they walk out of the viewing room, we're going to cut back to Dr. Professor Paige Turner. And what are you doing in the museum right now? I know you wanted to try to plant some bombs on some gonk droids here. Or I know you're summoning like 100 of them, but. You're gonna try to plant on some here?
If there are any nearby that I can like sneak in through like a maintenance entrance or something, or like maybe even mouse droids because the berserker bombs aren't that big.
Yeah, I would assume a museum like this would have mouse droids and gonk droids doing constant regular maintenance. They want this place to be clean. It's a museum. It's not supposed to be dirty. So there would be probably easily at any given time a good half dozen or so droids doing their little droid work around you. So you want to try to summon them and then plant some bombs on them?
Yeah.
Okay, sure. That'll be two rolls. One to summon and the second to plant the bombs. So that'll be a computer's check against, we'll say, a one purple. They're simple droids. We'll see. Basically count your successes and advantage to see how many droids you get to show up.
All right, cool.
So one gonk and four mouse droids.
Sounds good.
All right. So, okay, and then just do a skullduggery to see if you can get them in there without them causing any commotion or anybody noticing that there's...
Would it be skullduggery or mechanics?
Either one, whatever you think. Mechanics, because you're trying to get inside these machines.
Use mechanics.
All righty.
How many purple?
You're just trying to put one bomb in each one. You're not trying to do anything crazy.
Yeah, I'm probably putting a berserker bomb in each... mouse droid.
Okay.
And then, like, I don't have anything for the gonk.
You don't have any other...
Gonk is just gonk.
You don't have any regular of your own grenade-style things? You don't want to have a R2-D2 it throw a lightsaber type thing at you?
I vote for a confetti bomb.
I think, actually, I have, like, 500 credits. Let me check. I think I can buy a grenade.
Yeah, if you want to retroactively have a regular grenade, that's not out of the realm of possibility.
It's actually where she's going to be keeping her 30-gallon bag of chocolate now.
Yeah, is this carrying chocolate for you?
No, because I rummage. I might hit the button. She usually stuffs her bras with the plasma grenades. Actually, I can afford, like, four plasma grenades.
So, it's up to you how many you want to buy.
I am deeply concerned by this.
Yeah, one in each cup. I'll put two plasma grenades in the cop droid.
Okay, so yeah, just do a mechanics check to see if it messes up any of their workings, and then they'll be good to go. Two purple. You're trying to. They're not really designed to have extra space, so you got to jigger some things around to make sure it actually still works.
She must have a very interesting silhouette.
Oh wow. Okay, so that's three successes, advantage, and a triumph. Okay. So, yeah, you definitely get your the berserker bombs and the plasma grenade into the gonk droid. Is there anything you have in mind for the triumph? You want to pocket it for later, or?
I think I'll pocket the triumph for later.
Okay, so yes. So you
make a note.
Yeah, make a note somewhere that you remember, because I'm not going to remember your triumph. But yeah, you can do something in a pinch. You have a droid ace in the spade right there. Is there anything else you wanted to do, or are you going to... reconnect with the other two. Vote.
I think the only other thing I want to do is maybe set up like a little clean room, kind of almost like a trap room in case I have to lure a certain droid in there at some point.
Sure, yeah, you know in the blueprints that there's probably an office that hasn't been used for a while that you could easily cordon off and change the digital lock so only you can get into it. So I'll say, yeah, you can have a room of your own. An office that you can use to do whatever you need to do the poor FR3Z later. As Velvet is coming out to the main area, you see that Zhen and a crying Skip are making their way into the main lobby of the museum. Skip, the feeling of sadness is still there, but I'd say that the overwhelming sobbing is probably gone. You're just feeling very just sad right now. Kind of a little like depression is...
Even though I'm still touching
is it still
the gem,
physically in your hand, or is it just resting in your pocket?
Oh yeah, no, I'm still physically.
I didn't know you were still
touching
physically.
The gem.
I assumed you like dropped.
the opportunity to be here.
I think we need to call Lo and take Skip somewhere else.
Yeah, you guys. We'll call him Logos.
Yeah, it could be right there. Honestly, it would be a huge relief because this child keeps asking me if they can drive, and frankly, I can't do that. There's regulations and a yellow cat. You know what? We're not going to talk about it right now. All right, yeah, I'm sure he's great at the game. Look, I don't care. This is not a money thing. I am not letting this child drive my cab. All right, I will be there. I will arrive driving my cab in 5 minutes. Okay? All right.
Anarchy was that kid in grade school where if somebody was crying, she would, like, tell them to stay put and go find their best friend. So to help Skip, she just kind of tries to, like, shove the good chocolate, like the peanut butter ones, like, into his mouth.
It's just, here, it'll make you feel better. Yeah, the kid at the...
Skip just grabs Anarchy.
Just grabs his sister.
I'll never let you go, Anarchy.
So now Jen is hurting them both out the door.
So
she frantically flags at one of the door guards, like, get the door.
As you guys are walking, Anarchy, you have Skip's arm, I assume, over your shoulder, your arm over his shoulder. Anarchy, as you're walking, that sad feeling, you start to feel sad too. It's starting to creep into the back of your mind. This whatever chaotic, you know, Looney Tunes music that is usually playing in Anarchy's head is kind of switching to kind of a more somber tone as you...
It's like a low dirge. Exactly.
It's just like, yeah, it's a different... The bass is getting louder. It's like it's not sounding as happy and peppy, but the music is changing in your head as you guys get outside and Lowe's cab just pulls up a moment later and...
Hey, whoa, what happened to you? Why y'all mopey faces? Come on.
I wish I could tell you, but we're going to go ahead and get out of here. Skip, is that okay? You going to be okay, buddy?
Of course. I'm fine.
I think we just need to go back to the room for a few minutes. And Harl, can you do me a favor? Take a bus home and check in on your old man. He didn't show up yet.
They said he'd be here in a couple of hours.
Please.
He's like that awkward, like,
Skip, it's gonna be okay. My dad runs late sometimes.
I just throw him into a big bear hug as well.
His arms are just at his side. He's like,
it's gonna be okay, Mr. Fortuna. My dad probably just slept through the alarm. I'll go get him. It's gonna be okay. Don't worry about him.
Okay.
It's gonna be okay. Okay.
Okay.
Bye. Okay.
Okay. Oh, don't leave
me. I kind of push them apart and turn Skip back to Anarchy.
Yeah, he just... Yeah, you see the tear and snot stain on poor Harl's shoulder. He's like, walking away. Something.
This is my new shirt. I'm going to have to wash this now. Ugh.
Just wear a jacket.
I'm 13. I don't own a jacket.
Yeah, you guys get in Lowe's back in the speeder, and you guys are going to head back to your suite?
I have no better option.
Yeah.
Anarchy has also been with the blues. And when she takes off her mask, you see the eyeliner running. And she's just going to very aggressively reach for her Jen's flask.
Yes. So you're going to say,
Jen's like, huh?
I'm more interested now suddenly in Anarchy's face, having not gotten to see Anarchy's face since we last saw each other.
Yeah.
Is there anything wrong with Anarchy's face?
She's not caked in makeup like she usually is. So, like, you can see, like, all, like, the... You can count her age by the eyes and the circles under her eyes.
I don't need to count her age. She's the same age.
Well, I guess this would be the first time Jen sees Anarchy's face, then, at least.
100%. Is it just, like, a normal Twi'lek face?
Yeah, you didn't get
a sad mascara face?
Yeah.
She reaches for the flask, and Jen's like, okay. And she pulls out the flask, and she grabs the other glove and hands it with.
So, yes. Lo just kind of tries to put on peppy music into the thing, kind of happy, go-lucky music. Jen sitting awkwardly between two crying Twi'leks as he pulls back into traffic.
And if you try to cross them, they'll flex their lovely guns. They told me, let the starboards loosen, keep the starboards juicy, let the starboards boogie down.
Thanks for listening to the Flight Risk Podcast. The best and easiest way you can help the show is simply by spreading the word on social media. If you want to help us in a more monetary fashion, head over to patreon.com/flightriskpod. If you want to reach out to the show, we can be found on Twitter @flightriskpod and on Facebook.
My God, I took 6 months of judo, and all I know now how to do is fall. That's all I really learned out of it from judo is how to fall down.
That seems like the most useful thing you could learn. if I'm honest.
It really is useful. Like, oh my god. And then you, when your shoulders hit the ground, you throw out your arms and slap the ground on either side of you, and it diffuses all of the force and momentum, and increasing your surface area and decreasing, so the amount of force that's hitting is dispersed throughout. And yeah, if you can do it right, you don't hurt yourself. If you do it wrong, you wind yourself.
That's what the practice is for.
Who says this isn't an educational podcast?
Why am I rolling ship critical, Kyle?
I have no idea what you're doing.
Some more of those. We're losing power to the shields, friends. We're in a tailspin. The Nava computer has failed.
Pull up, pull up.
Has anyone rolled the ship critical yet?
Well, Skip has.
No.
Apparently.
Skip is just having a very lucid daydream right now.